We hear again from Mark 10. And the Pharisees came up, and in order to test Jesus, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of the hardness of heart, of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter, and he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." In the name of Jesus. Do we want to start an argument? If there's one thing about marriage that our society will not accept, that this generation's lawmakers and courts reject, and that the press will portray as laughable, we'll find it here. It is that marriage is made by God. Not by courts, not by the county clerk, not even by a man and woman of good intentions, but by God. Mark 10:9, Jesus said, "From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." Nothing in that about marriage being designed or redesigned by lawmakers or judges or courts or even by a man and woman in love. Marriage stands, instituted by God, a gift from the Lord. The husband and wife don't even really make their own marriage. Rather, marriage is God's gift, and we enter into it. It's prepared for the man and the woman by God who created them. And the Lord brings them into this estate, joining them together, one flesh. We may, of course, think that we make marriage, the dating, the pursuing of a bride or a groom, the arranging, the planning, all the conversations that go into that, all that goes on with family and friends doing their work of matchmaking. Marriage sure looks like something that we make. But that's the Lord using us, using our natural desires, using our God-given bodily gifts, using our abilities of planning, conversing, and all the rest to bring us into his gift. Marriage, gift from the Lord, an estate which the bride and the groom enter, a God-pleasing, God-ordained binding together of a man and woman as one flesh. God, after all, is the God of life. He created life, the man and the woman, having first created everything that they needed for life, including the water, the ground, the food, the drink, the animals and all around us, including the sky, the stars, the constellations, all for the benefit of man and woman, who are the image of God, and the bringing forth of life. The bringing forth of life, that's what God does. So he creates humans, male and female created he them, says Genesis 1. But in creating man and woman as one creation, he did it in such a way that the man and the woman could see their blessing and purpose. He created the male first, but that was not good. Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." But what is it that's not good about a man standing there by himself? A man by himself brings forth no life. Two men cannot bring forth life. 1,000 men cannot bring forth life. Life, though, is what is good. Therefore, a man alone is not good, for no life will come from that. Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, I will make a helper fit for him. That is, I will make for him not a servant, not a slave, not another animal, but I will make for him that which fits up to him, that which is counterpart to him, that which is the completion of human, that which without the man is incomplete. Incomplete because without his counterpart, the man brings forth no life. And God is the God of life. So God made woman. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. Mark 10:9. We know what happened. Man and woman sinned. Sin then went also to their offspring. That's us, our families. Sin brought death. Sin corrupts the foundational gift of marriage. So now there is abuse in marriages. There is a husband loving self more than wife. Wife not respecting husband. There is brokenness, divorce, hatred. There is the tearing apart of the one flesh made by God. So how do you have a God-pleasing divorce? The Pharisees want to know. Moses gave commands about it, about how you can go about divorce, about how if you do divorce your wife, the woman will still be protected in some way. But the Pharisees want Jesus to say what a God-pleasing divorce would look like. They follow the law of Moses, at least they say they do. So how should a good Israelite go about it? They are about the business of trapping Jesus with the law, of making Jesus into being a good teacher of the law. They want Jesus to speak of marriage, not as a gift from God, but as a set of rules and regulations that you must follow. If they can trap Jesus into speaking of marriage as law, of marriage according to the rules to be applied, according to the way a man can legally treat a woman, then by putting marriage under the law, they make Jesus into a teacher of the law. Into that is just one more Pharisee. But Moses didn't write those rules about marriage because that's what marriage is. Moses wrote those rules about marriage and about divorce because of what we sinners do to marriage and therefore to minimize our damage. It's for the protection of families. It's not for the way to rightly understand marriage. Moses' rules for marriage and divorce, then, are a mitigation. They are the effort to lessen the damage of our sin against marriage, but they are not the goal of marriage. Mark 10:5. The Pharisees said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away. And Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. The Pharisees want to keep marriage under the law because they want to keep all men and women under the law. So Jesus, in talking to his disciples, shows what that looks like by giving some real law. If you want to place the Lord's gifts under law, then Jesus will hit you with law more than you can take. Because the Pharisees want to use the law to make you clean up your life, to give you a better way to live, to give you a way to justify yourself. But Jesus wants to use the law to accuse you and to leave you so far under the law that you finally have no hope. No hope except to finally turn to the gospel. which is what Jesus actually wants you to hear. So listen to Jesus hit the Pharisees and to those who listened to them with the law even harder than they were hitting other people with it. Jesus said, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Mark 10:12. That's harder than the Pharisees wanted. They wanted an easy way out. Adultery is a rough word. But what is adultery to Jesus? Matthew 5:28. Jesus said, "Anyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart." What is adultery to Jesus? He's not playing some little rules and regulation game with the Pharisees. Adultery is anything and everything against the Lord's institution of husband and wife. Adultery is cheating on your spouse. Adultery is having lust in your heart for another woman. Adultery is having lust in your heart for anyone not your wife, if you're a man, anyone not your husband, if you're a woman, including of the same sex. Adultery is divorce. Adultery is physical abuse in marriage. Adultery is mental abuse in marriage. Adultery is abandonment, mental or physical. Adultery is loving yourself at the expense of spouse. Adultery is anything, anything, tearing apart what God has joined together. By the time Jesus is done with the law, who, married or single, who is not guilty of adultery? Jesus has had his way with the law. We are all guilty. No escape. Now Jesus has us ready to hear the gospel. Not ready to try to prove that we're somehow not guilty of adultery when we all know that we are. Not ready to put others under the law as if we ourselves are able to live by the law. But he has us ready to hear the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel for the married person and the single, for the divorced one, for the one struggling with sexual temptation. The gospel is, you have a groom, a holy groom who makes you holy. The gospel is that the Lord has put his name on you in baptism and gathered you into his church. And his church, he says, is his bride. Together, you and me, our families bound together in the church so that we are to Jesus, his beloved bride. Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. The gospel is that we, sinners all, have been gathered into the church, which is the bride of Christ, and that he is the groom who sanctifies his bride, who sanctifies us, makes us holy by the cleansing of baptism, and that he continues to make us holy by making himself one flesh with his bride in his body and blood, given us to eat and drink for the forgiveness of all our sin, including adultery. The gospel is that in this church, there is no sin of adultery, of lust, of self-centeredness, of self-love. There is no sin not cleansed by the blood of Christ the groom, and no sin for us to hold then against one another. For our groom is Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen.